Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
We are not here to ask for restrictions to hospitals, to colleges, or other places of business that may have server rooms. We are here to ask the city of Pensacola to ensure that residents never have to face the consequences of an AI or edge data center at all. We, the taxpaying citizens, do not want them here, and a threshold of 50 megawatts is extremely high and does not comfort us at all. I thank you for being willing to work on this issue, but 50 megawatts leaves the door wide open for large to mid-scale data centers, and we the people are not comfortable with that.
So this is Brandy Johnson speaking at the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday with a bunch of cohort talking about the data centers that they're wanting to ban, prohibit, eradicate, uproot, I don't know, whatever you want to say. I've been kind of thinking to myself recently, what is my label for the data center opposers or the data center deniers, and I don't have a good one yet. You know, like we got the Pitchfork Posse in Santa Rosa County, and then we got the Flock Fighters, I think I'm going to call them, and which is a lot of the same people as the data center, you know, the data center derangement syndrome folks, but which I'm not saying they're all wrong. I'm just saying that it's very one-sided. I've gotten people say the Dooms Data Deniers or Doomsday Data Deniers, which kind of like that, that's the quadruple D. Anyway, if you have a better title, I'm open to it. In any case, they've been showing up for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks protesting this stuff, both at the city council, at the Escambia County Commission. To some degree, it's crossed the water into Santa Rosa County. Even the PEDC meeting. Who goes to the PEDC? Like, even the people on the PEDC meeting don't go to the PEDC meeting. But, you know, whatever. So they showed up there as well. So their objection is that the proposal for banning for 1 year, a moratorium, okay, for 1 year for any hyperscale data center that would be 50 megawatts or more, which aligns it with the state law that was passed sort of in this regard, SB 484. But they're saying, look, it's not specific enough. It allows too many of the medium or small size ones. We can't take any risks. You got to do better than that. Sarah Blankenship.
However, I do have some concerns regarding the language in the moratorium. The language in the moratorium doesn't specify AI data centers. It only states data centers, specifically large-scale ones of 50 megawatts and above. There is a difference between traditional data centers and AI data centers, and not distinguishing them puts all types of data centers under one umbrella, which limits the moratorium's potential.
Well, it actually doesn't limit the moratorium's potential. It makes it cover more things. She seemed to want to say that if you don't specify AI, that somehow AI is going to slip in, that it's just one kind of data center, which is true. It is just one, I suppose, one kind. But are you going to make a law that says, well, you can have computers and they can use electricity and water, you just can't do AI with them, which is how would you even write that law? It doesn't make sense. You know, you can do like Netflix streaming, but you can't do AI. You can do, GPS, but you can't do AI. Like I don't even know quite what they're asking for here.
The moratorium is a step in the right direction, but needs to be adjusted. We are asking for the moratorium to specifically ban AI data centers of all sizes within the Pensacola city limits.
Which, again, is not a land use. I don't know. It was a very weird one. They wanted something that was going to ban everything, a lot of things below 50 megawatts. They kind of had gotten their way, and, you know, you give a mouse a cookie, and they just want more and more and more. They were actually pushing for this thing to not pass and pushing for to table it because they wanted a better version. And my thought was, take the one you can get, take your win, and then come back and remedy it or edit it later if you want to. Jared Moore asks the question, you know, what would it take to put one here? He wants more information, which several of the city council members wanted.
Oh, in my mind, I just am practical and pragmatic. I like to understand what would it take if Joe Data Center comes to Pensacola and says, I'm going to build me a hobgoblin data center, whatever it is. what is required? And so I didn't know if we could get a land development code explanation as far as what is the likelihood, you know, what would it take, what's required, you know, what are we moratoriuming against?
What are we moratoriuming against? It's kind of a funny hobgoblin data center. And the short version is there is no current permitted use of this sort in any of the land development code. And so it would have to go through a very long, dicey process in order to ultimately get there. There is no by right method of getting this to the end. And by right just means that, you know, if you own the land, you're able to do so many things. There is no way to get there from here unless you get planning board approval, unless city council makes a ruling on this. Sherry Morris with Development Services.
That district requires planning board and city council approval for anything that is not specifically listed in the preceding light industrial district as a permitted use.
Yeah, so M1 doesn't have it at all. M2 would need a special series of things happen.
We would require, as part of that approval, all the documentation that they have received, their power reservation approval from FPL, and that they have gotten their consumptive use permit and any other requirements that the Water Management District and DEP put upon them. So there is not a by right path for this use currently in our land development code.
That's it. I mean, you might as well be trying to ban elephants from Pensacola. Like, nobody's trying to bring elephants here. There's no way to do it. Banning icebergs. Like, it's so weird, this fixation on this problem that's not even really a problem. But, like any good politician will do, if people are asking for a thing that we aren't doing, that we're not ever going to do, that we also don't want to do even though we're not doing it, hey, let's pay them off with a ban that bans a thing that wasn't going to happen anyway. It's like when we gave the yellow shirt ladies in Escambia County the so-called Protection Act for the beaches, which did nothing, but it paid them off in, you know, political emptiness and words, and then eventually they went away and they were happy that they won a non-victory. Same thing here. You're going to ban a thing that's not going to happen, or you're going to put a moratorium on something that's not going to happen, and you're going to make people feel good and like they got a victory, and you're like, it cost us nothing. So Charles Bear was the person who brought this forward. We'll get to him in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I'm still on Hobgoblin data centers.
I know. You know. Jared's the best.
He is. Davis and Plantation showing an accident this morning, but not showing a roadblock or anything, so it shouldn't be backed up too much. You make your way around that. Emergency crews may be on scene, and it is backed up across the bridge for the front gate of Pensacola NAS Naval Air Station. That's all I'm seeing, and that's 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, let us know. You can text it in. Candy with traffic on the sixes.
Thanks so much, Candy. All right, so Charles Bear.
When I asked staff to put this together, we based it solely on what was in Senate Bill 484, which the 50 megawatt is what they authorized us to continue to regulate, I guess, through our land development code. I don't know. You know, it was mentioned that it doesn't prohibit us from going lower. I don't know where that number is, where we need to set that line at this point. And for me, I wanted to get something on the books. And for the biggest one, the biggest threat would be the large load to me.
Yeah, and none of the people who were complaining that they weren't regulating it enough, as in 50 megawatts is way too big. That's like enough power to power the whole city. What about a 20 megawatt or a 10 megawatt? Why not we ban, you know? And nobody was offering a number. They were just angry that it was only at a 50. And Charles was like, well, the statute says 50, and that's where I'm kind of working. And I guess I'm willing to go smaller than that.
But, I would be open. I don't know what our city attorney's opinion on this is about whether we could go below 50 based on the statute. But, you know, I'm not hard set on 50. I just felt like based on the legislation, we're preempted. We're preempted quite a bit by the state legislature on what we can and can't do, and mostly it's what we can't do.
Yeah, and so in this case, they were just going with the SB 484, and basically he asked Adam Cobb, who is the city attorney, can we ban a 20 or a 30? Can we ban something lower than that?
I think I am. So this same session, legislature passed State Senate Bill 180, which I know our planning staff is familiar with, and it, in short, places restrictions on local governments passing moratoriums, additional restrictions, additional heavier criteria for development or redevelopment.
So SB 180 is limiting local government from putting restrictive uses and limitations into the land development code. So that's taking power away from local government.
And so we've got that piece of legislation paired with the one that Councilman Bear cited to say, okay, yes, there's that prohibition in Senate Bill 180. However, there is that carve out that you read related to those large scale data centers. So short answer to your question is no, I don't think we can currently go below 50.
Okay, so the state has said don't restrict land use generally, broadly speaking. And then in SB 484, they said, but you can restrict against 50 megawatt or bigger data centers. And so what he's saying is the only permission you definitely have from the state is to regulate these huge ones. Jen Breyer.
That's what I understood it as well. And I just wanted to clarify, I agree that I would like to see it on a smaller scale, but I think that if
the... You know the old, like, the kind of the Buddhist thing or the Taoist thing, I forget where it was, but the, you know, what's the sound of one hand clapping? Here, I'll tell you. What's the sound of one person clapping?
But I think that if this is what we can do right now, we're even if we change it down the road and we find out we can go stronger down the road, this is a first step, and this puts something in place. And it shows our intention to investigate this, be educated, all that kind of stuff.
And yeah, and that's what I'm saying is, like, get your win, get your yes, ban 50s and above if you must. I think it's all silly, but okay. And then later on, if you want to come back and try to ban 20s or 10s and still allow Navy Federal and Sacred Heart to have their data centers and whoever else might have one already that's going to be, you know, smaller, you know, I mean, come back and ban more or moratoriumize more. I can't believe I'm saying that word again. Jared Moore says, look, this is a perfect example of why government exists. Water quality, quality of life, noise, all the concerns. That's right. But also, you know, we do use the service they create.
Data has obviously become more intensive. You know, Blockbuster's not around anymore. We're streaming. A lot of our life is lived in some sort of digital world. So it is the transaction of data. I mean, part of what we market this community as is the cyber coast. So there's potentially a lot of great evil, a lot of bad that can come from these centers, certainly. And I think it's incumbent upon these bodies. The county, I think, is where you've accurately identified where those conversations, they really need to have some honest conversations.
And by the way, I do give credit to the people who were protesting the data center doomsday deniers, I guess I'm going to go with now. I don't know. Anyway, they did quite clearly say, we know this doesn't matter that much in the city. It's really, this is a warm-up for the county, which is a little bit insulting to the city council. Like, you know, we're here just wasting your time on this thing that we know doesn't matter as we get better arguments prepared for the county argument, where it's going to be the bigger issue is going to be in the county, of course. But he says, look, you know, we do use these things all the time, and we do stream, and we are the cyber coast, and we're trying to develop in this way. How do we do all that?
I don't think that the answer is so easy to say, let's just ban them, because I think the future that we are living in right now,
that's me clapping, by the
involves
way,
involves data, and you have to have the infrastructure to transact it. We just cut off our ability to reasonably transfer that data. I mean, people are at home streaming
right now.
They're not renting a video, a VHS cassette or a DVD, a Blockbuster. I mean, we're communicating on devices.
Yeah, we are using what data centers make possible all the time. Even watching that meeting, people are streaming it at home and cheering for the data center ban while they're streaming a video that's being stored at a data center. Like, it's crazy.
I understand wholly where the concern comes from, and I think it's legitimate, but I think ban the data centers is just too easy of a cop-out answer. I think that we're going to have to look for appropriate, and I don't think it's this body, because I really don't think data centers are coming here, but I think there's some national security issues that are going to depend on, and a lot of really good things that we depend on that are utilizing this infrastructure to transfer all the data that's necessary. And anyway, I think that needs to be part of the conversation if we're real honest. I don't think we're wanting to seal ourselves off in the dark ages. So, but I have no problem this evening voting for this item. Thank you.
We're a military area. We are a cyber area. But we're going to tell anybody who might be interested in the future of any of those things, but we definitely don't want to do the data centers that are going to be key to that. You know, Allison Patton had a really good take on this, too, I thought.
What that power generation, you know, or the what the technology is that uses that kind of power, how that power is generated in the future could change in the next 12 months. I mean, the way we're moving technologically, I don't know that we really understand what might be affected by this. Semiconductor chip makers can use this kind of power, you know, EV battery producers, lots of...
Because it bans the power use, not just the kind of thing that they're doing with it. The 50 megawatts is the key.
Businesses And we are the Cyber Coast, and I don't know, again, I don't have the data to be able to really tonight say.
So what if somebody wants to bring a company here that's not a data center but falls within the category that we're now putting a moratorium on?
I certainly don't want to, and it's obviously not in the city, but I don't want to be in the business of making a decision tonight that I realize, you know, that we had had an opportunity for some economic development, because I think we all just heard economic development's important, and then we are, you know, we have this moratorium, so the company doesn't even look at us because we're, you know, we're not a place that is friendly for their business because of the power needs they have.
I mean, what if you decided to build something at, say, I don't know, a piece of land that has gone historically undeveloped that might be right downtown that is specifically intended for technology, like a technology park? But you ban the kinds of things that might go there. And then you miss out on those job opportunities. I don't know, it was weird. But nevertheless, you know where this is all going.
I don't see anybody else. Call for a vote. Passes 7-0.
Yeah. Nobody wants to say no to the mob. Yeah. Woo! All right. So now we have a data center moratorium in the city of Pensacola for a year. Woohoo. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And the good news is we're not showing those slowdowns or delays. We do show an accident, it looks like, at Davis and Plantation Road right near the station, but not showing a roadblock. It looks like that has been moved off to the side. Watch for emergency vehicles. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are extraordinarily good at this. And, you know, I've known Christina as long as I've lived here, back when she was in the news and then tried to start a family. I mean, did start a family. And then, you know, went into doing real estate. And for those of us who knew her thought, I mean, at least I know, I thought it was like, well, she's the kind of person that could do great at this, but a lot of people have potential in real estate and it just doesn't work out for them. You know, a lot of people try real estate and they do okay, maybe. But goodness, selling over 200 homes a year, it's insane. Last year, she and her team sold 206 homes. That's 4 weeks. And in fact, in the last 12 months, it's 260, I think is the number she told me, 266. It's over five a week. It's crazy. They know how to list, photographs, to stage, to do open houses, to follow up, to price, to negotiate, and then get you all the way through to the closing. They just do it over and over and over again and help lots of people and lots of word-of-mouth referral. Lots of people just like, hey, man, you got to work with her. She's fantastic, and she really is. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Here's today's strength for life.
Winning at life is a scriptural concept. Run that you may obtain speaks of winning. Run in such a way that you avoid being a castaway. We should run like Paul, not Demas. Paul fought a good fight, finished his course, and kept the faith, and henceforth there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. However, Demas forsook his friend and his faith, having loved this present world. Paul was a winner, but Demas was a castaway. So what's the key to winning at life? The Bible says it's temperance, self-control. It's not asceticism, religious self-effort, but it is spirit-enabled self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the spirit. It's allowing your position in Christ to determine your pursuits. So avoid being a castaway by biblically regulating each area of your life, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally. Control yourself for God's glory. Spirit-filled self-control is the key to winning at life.
For more strength for life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
From the efficiency of American natural gas and the dependability of nuclear power to the strength of Florida's sunshine and the flexibility of advanced battery storage systems, at FPL, we leverage a diverse mix of energy sources to power our growing state, ensuring reliable, low-cost power whenever you need it. See how at FPL.com. FPL. Working for you every single day.
As Florida parents, we have a choice about where our children receive their education. I'm a mom of four, and I've chosen Santa Rosa County Public Schools for my family. That's why I'm running for school board. I have a vested interest in making sure our children receive a quality education. I'll be your advocate in our community, promoting transparency, fiscal responsibility, and a brighter future for every student. I'm Jill Broxton-Teston. I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxton-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
There you have it.
When you get out there, do you ever fear for your life?
Well, Sue, I'll tell you, surfing's not a sport. It's a way of life, no hobby. It's a way of looking at that wave and saying, hey, bud, let's party.
Somebody texts in, you know, when it comes to data centers and future technology in the cyber coast, we probably need to be listening to the smart people, not the mob of semi-informed folks who engage in logical fallacies and false illustrations and use outdated methods of construction and water and power handling that we've already solved the problems for. I'm like, yeah, you think? But, you know, look, seven people who get elected by the will of the people, it's hard for them to stand there in the face of this massive angst and anger and say, you know, y'all are full of it. I mean, I've been saying that basically on the radio. And I'm not for data centers either. I just think this is a very one-sided, fallacious conversation. So Santa Rosa kind of got sort of bullied into it. I think Escambia County is kind of going to get bullied into it. And, you know, I mean, we may miss some significant opportunities because of it, and that worries me. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, nine people are injured after a shooting in Tucson, Arizona, Sunday. The suspected gunman was shot by police and taken to the hospital. This happened in their downtown area.
All right, David. Thank you so much for the update. And there are even, you know, what about the smaller data centers that all of these companies have or that, I don't know, some local company might get involved in developing? It's just, it's such a weird, almost a religious thing these folks are engaging in.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The U.S. military reveals the names of two soldiers killed in Iran's attack in Jordan. First Lieutenant Tyler James Feehan was 25 years old from Eva Beach, Hawaii, and Private Isabella Gonzalez was 19 from Carrollton, Texas.
The current air campaign against Iran right now, this is really punishments for the specific IRGC factions that have targeted U.S. air bases, including that base in Jordan that proved to be so deadly.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff of the White House. The remains of another U.S. service member believed killed in that attack have also been found. While in Iraq, a service member dies during a controlled detonation of a downed Iranian drone. Great Britain has a new leader. Cheers for Prime Minister Andy Burnham as he arrived at 10 Downing Street earlier. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 72 right now, clear skies, and we will be checking in with Brooke Richardson, getting a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Of course, we are continuing to watch Tropical Depression 2, expected to become Tropical Storm Bertha today. The National Hurricane Center says tropical storm conditions will be possible along parts of the northern Gulf Coast.
We do have some tropical storm watches that are in effect for portions of the Florida Panhandle. And now also just recently with the most recent advisory, we've extended those tropical storm watches to the coast of Alabama, right up to the Mississippi border.
And that is Senior Hurricane Specialist Felipe Pappen. As of the latest advisory, that depression was producing about 30-mile-an-hour winds and drifting slowly in the northeastern Gulf. Well, a fire that started near a water heater in a garage damaged a home in Escambia County yesterday. This happened on the 9700 block of Creek Bridge Circle. Crews got the call for that fire just before 1 yesterday. Had that fire out within about 40 minutes. Nobody was hurt. A Mobile woman is dead after a two-boat crash in Baldwin County on Saturday night. 46-year-old Kristen Delaney was critically injured. The boat she was riding on crashed into another vessel near Wolf Bay. She died at South Baldwin Hospital. Several others from both boats involved were injured and taken to Sacred Heart in Pensacola. The Cantonment Improvement Committee is giving away 10,000 pounds of food tomorrow. The distribution starts at 3 in the afternoon at Carver Park on Webb Street. Organizers ask attendees to line up facing north on Webb Street and bring a valid ID. Former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says he sees a big opportunity for Democrats in Florida. He was in Florida over the weekend at Lake Buena Vista at the Florida Democratic Party's Leadership Blue event. Buttigieg pointed to several recent Democrat wins. And he says plenty of Floridians are ready for something different. Well, Andrew Tate and his brother have been arrested in South Florida. The social media influencers were arrested by federal marshals on Saturday. Criminal charges of both rape and sex trafficking out of the U.K. A news release from the U.K.'s Crown Prosecution Service says 39-year-old Andrew Tate is charged with 7 counts of rape, 3 counts of sex trafficking, and 3 counts of assault. His brother, 38-year-old Tristan Tate, is charged with 2 counts of rape, sexual assault, and sex trafficking. British authorities are seeking their extradition in the case. A judge is letting Santa Rosa County Commissioner Kerry Smith pursue punitive damages in his defamation lawsuit against developer Edwin Henry. That case stems from a campaign flyer in 2022 that falsely painted Smith as a domestic abuser, referencing the murder of Navarre resident Cassie Carley. The judge found that Smith showed enough evidence that Henry acted with actual malice. According to the PNJ, attorneys for Henry are expected to file an appeal. If not, that case will move towards trial. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's check in with Brooke Richardson and get a look at our forecast.
We do have a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Going to be seeing a mix of some sun and clouds and heavy rain, high near 95 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Tuesday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, heavy in some spots, high near 89. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. Heading into Wednesday, 50% chance of rain, high near 89 degrees. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And 74 degrees. Clear skies right now. Let's check in with Candy, who's got our traffic on the fives.
I'm watching an accident. A hit-and-run crash at Davison Plantation Road. Doesn't look like it's backing anything up, though, so I shouldn't have any problems getting where you're going this morning. And taking a look at Pensacola NAS and the front gate to Pensacola NAS. Still backed up halfway over the bridge, and that's all I'm seeing. 437-1620. If you see that accident or slowdown, you can text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The winner of the World Cup will hoist a trophy, receive championship rings for the first time, and gain a lifetime of glory. It will also lead to a significant payday. The World Cup winner earns $51 million. The second prize is $34 million. Milk brand Fairlife is pausing its production in the U.S. after a ransomware cyber attack breached the company's systems. Coca-Cola, which owns Fairlife, announced its dairy company had identified unauthorized access by a third party to a portion of its systems. Fairlife's Canadian operations were not affected.
I could take this from you.
They're not giving up power to you or Odysseus. Do you think life goes back to the way it was?
Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey raked in $124.5 million in domestic ticket sales during its opening weekend. The Universal film tallied just over $264 million globally. Futures are higher this morning as oil reverses gains. That's Your Money Now.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
In digital marketing, sometimes it's easy to get carried away with clicks and data and algorithms, but at ADX Digital, we understand that none of that matters without customers. We provide reports with click-throughs and view-throughs, but what really matters to our team is seeing your business grow with more sales. And just like you, we're local too. We care about your business winning. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good to have you. So let's start with this just because it happened right after, I think, the last time you and I talked. We were talking on Monday, and then you had the vote in the House on the Daylight Saving Time Act. And then we had we talked to Rick Scott on Wednesday. So we've had a lot happen since then. Big bipartisan push for this, like over 300 people voted to approve the ability for a state like Florida to go to permanent daylight time, right?
Yeah, it's a states do have the ability to opt out. The fear that I've got, you've got a number of senators, the Tom Cottons of the world, those guys, they're against this. So you've got northern states and western states that have heartburn over making this change. But the beauty of it is they can opt out. So it'll be interesting to see how hard they push back. This isn't the first time we've attempted this, and this was happened evidently decades ago.
Yeah.
And Congress reversed course and changed the law again. So, but the House finally did what we, you know, felt like was impossible to do, and now we are waiting on the Senate to comply.
Yeah, that's basically what Senator Scott had told us last week. Told me last week is, you know, if John Thune takes it up, it'll pass. The only question is whether he'll actually take it up or not, and I do think it could allow for some funny little wrinkles, like if I'm trying to remember which way it works. I guess if Georgia did permanent and Alabama stayed like kind of how they are now, then for half the year you'd have a 2-hour time difference at the Alabama-Georgia border, which would be kind of a funny outcome of this.
That's fine.
It did actually pass, but anyway. And we may, you know, it might be one of those things where sometimes you got to learn the lessons of history by doing it again. And maybe we'll hate it after we have it in place for a while. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. And look, it's one of those things. States do have the ability to opt out. So, you know, hopefully it's given a shot and the president gets to sign the bill.
Yeah. And I like the fact that how right now you can opt out of daylight time, but you can't opt out of standard time. And I think, well, I mean, you know, both ways. It should go both ways. If a state wants to do one or the other, they should be able to do it. But like you said, we'll see.
A couple of states that have already opted out, like Arizona, right. I forgot what the other one is.
Right.
And they've been that way forever. So.
And it's weird, but, you know, we live with it. No big deal. Blue Angels this weekend, great show. I know, like a lot of other people, I was sad that we didn't fly 6 jets because the number 3 jet did not fly Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I mean, I understand all the background around that. Obviously, we've been talking about this almost nonstop for a week. But you were here to watch the show?
Yeah, and, you know, I shook hands with 3, talked to them just a little bit. You know, definitely there was a lot of folks that wanted to get selfies with them. And
yeah.
It was kind of one of those mixed moments where, you know, people were upset that he wasn't flying. I think there was also an understanding that there needed to be kind of a time of reflection.
Yep.
But anyway.
This was at Friday night at the reception at the Hilton? Is that where this was?
Yeah, at the reception. But, you know, what a great show. They claim on Saturday there was about 250,000 people on the beach.
I believe it.
Biggest turnout ever.
It was crazy.
There was a different type of enthusiasm that turned out. One, I think the events of earlier in the week kind of stirred up another extra interest. But I did an interview with the television station about it, and they were kind of frustrated, or at least they wanted to try to trigger frustration with me about the actions that took place with 3. And I, the way I kind of look at it is I look at the role that the Blue Angels serve. They're supposed to be ambassadors of the Navy, supposed to help recruiting, supposed to drive up interest in becoming an aviator, all those things that it does is kind of a marketing arm of the Navy. What they ended up achieving, unfortunately, the silver lining to it was, is, I mean, they got hundreds of millions of dollars of global earned media.
So
the exposure through social media, through nonstop coverage over, 48-hour window on national TV. The Blue Angels are going to be in Seattle this week. I'm sure there's going to be markets that there's a family that said, well, those are the same guys that were on TV last week. Why don't we go check them out? There's going to be extra eyeballs glued to the seats in those markets that they're performing in because of the awareness that this brought to light.
My son in South Carolina has seen the video. Somebody in Ohio was watching the interview that I did with Juan on base last week that then, people in Utah got shared to him. I mean, if the point of the Blue Angels is to promote the coolness of being in the Navy, which is exactly what it's supposed to do, is to generate, it's a recruiting tool. Okay.
Yeah.
There's in, the last decade, there hasn't been another incident like this to promote recruiting, like anything I have ever seen. As you say, it's a, you couldn't buy that kind of advertising for something. People are like, oh man, I want to go do that. Right. And I saw a headline that I thought captured it so well. It said the Blue Angels too low beach flyover was dangerous as hell and shouldn't have happened, but the video still kicks ass. And I thought that was like the perfect summary of this entire thing. That's all of it in a nutshell.
Well, I talked to some former Blue Angels about it, and there was some real kind of cringe moments. But then again, I haven't heard what the full review investigation entailed. Was this on purpose? Was this by accident? Was it a degree of both? Anyway, but nor here nor there. Thank goodness, no injuries. It was a fantastic weekend, and there was some notoriety brought to the Blue Angels.
And, I was talking to Greg McWhirter, former boss of the Blues, on Saturday. We do a broadcast every year, and I was talking with him. And, one of the things he said is there's a process. And ultimately, you have to defer to the process that they're going to do what needs to be done and come out with the right answer, whatever that answer might be, for everybody involved, from the pilot to the team to the FAA to the folks at the SRIA. And, just because they don't come out and tell us every TikTok moment of every discussion that we'd like to hear about doesn't mean that a good decision isn't going to get made in the end, and that's what I have confidence in. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas, our congressman from Florida District 1. Hang on for just a second. Jimmy Candy has traffic on the 5s.
And we're not showing any slowdowns. It looks like everything's running smoothly. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown. Candy with traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Jimmy Petronas. Jimmy, you were the CFO for a while, and now, of course, you're our congressman. I know a part of your heart is always, anytime there's a storm or an emergency or anything like this, you always like to remind people to do a couple of key things. So we have a not that menacing of a storm. I mean, it's not even a tropical storm and not likely to be. It's a tropical depression. I mean, it might get up to tropical storm speeds. It's kind of close to it now. But this thing's going to move along the coast. But what's your advice to people who maybe are new to the area or just haven't gone through this before at all?
Yeah, look, there's going to be new people. And you got to do this anyway. We're in hurricane season still. But take your smartphone. This is really easy. Take your smartphone. Go film the outside of your house. Get photo evidence that there's no trees or any damage to your house. And then do the same thing inside, but inside's a little bit different. Inside, film your furniture, film your wardrobe, film your TV. Just walk through, do a slow video talking to yourself. I mean, literally, it'll take you a total of 5 minutes tops. Take those videos, email them to yourself so they're in the cloud. Now, here's why I want you to do that. God forbid you have damage. You're going to call your insurance company. Insurance company will send an adjuster out. And the adjuster is going to want to ascertain, this was our fault, this was not our fault. If you've got video from this week and it's showing on this day, this is what my house looked like, and now you've got damage to it, that's really black and white. It's cut and dry on what the insurance company is going to need to write your claim for. Speeds things up. God forbid you have significant damage. Let's say a tree falls on there and does a lot of damage.
Right.
Now you've got to take an inventory of what you've got in your house that you lost. It's impossible for you to ever remember this. But you'll be able to reflect on this video and go, oh, my God, I forgot about my DVD player. But you see what I'm saying? And if you've got that, it's just going to speed up the claims process. And a lot of times the claims process is trying to ascertain what they owe you for, but now you've got some photo evidence.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've got the video, which is useful, but also I know this as a teacher, talking through things means you learn them better. Walking around your house, even if something happened to the video, you're that much more aware of all the things you have in your house, so you're better prepared to file a claim, if you know, whatever. It's just, it's a good thing 100% of the way around.
And if you'll do it, the good thing is you'll have it for the rest of the year, because we're not out of the woods yet.
No, that's absolutely.
Some reason why Mother Nature loves visiting in October. So.
And though it's not as common, you know, we do have pop-up storms and tornadoes, and, you know, you might not have a week to prepare like you typically do for a regular old hurricane or something like that. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. Jimmy, we have locally, I don't know how much you've been tracking this, but locally, one of the biggest topics in the last several weeks, there's a group of people that have really made data centers their big thing. Like, it's kind of a fetish with them that they are against data centers. And they have gone to the Escambia County Commission numerous times. They've gone to the Pensacola City Council many times. Some friends of theirs so basically have gone to Santa Rosa County. Santa Rosa has put in a one-year moratorium on hyperscale-level data centers, I think maybe all data centers, even though it was already not allowed in the Land Development Code. Pensacola just put in a one-year moratorium on the 50 megawatt and above, like the state law put in. Escambia is going to take up the same issue. I think it's likely. But my concern, and this is why I wanted to ask you, you see things from sort of the 50,000-foot D.C. view. I'm worried about we're the cyber coast. We have military. We have Softly Field that we're trying to develop. We have, aviation, military-related things here, including, you know, we have GE Vernova. We have a lot of, like, forward-looking industry, and it worries me that this is going to stifle maybe some opportunity that we aren't seeing quite yet, or that, you know, we might need this in the future in a way that is worth doing, and yet we've kind of let these fringe activists really take over the conversation. What's your thought?
Yeah, look, the data center debate right now is white hot. The one thing that I feel like is not being talked about enough is, you know, you've got this race happen with China. You can't tell me, look, TikTok is the single greatest espionage tool that exists, and China uses it. Now, again, you're hearing the disclaimer. If you're using TikTok, understand whatever is on your phone and what your phone is connecting to your household, if China wants to look at it, they can totally do so.
Yeah.
So look, China does not want us leading in this race. So is there influence taking place? I would say there is. At the same time, I'm very personally concerned about data centers, because you've got to create a pathway where your utility rates, if they say somebody puts a data center in an approved place in Northwest Florida, again, we're the ideal place that a data center needs to go is somewhere where there's already infrastructure in place, like transmission lines.
Right.
But in saying that, you know, I've always said from day one, and I'll keep on saying it, I can't support data centers if it's going to increase utility rates on the local folk. So, you know, this is where the president's come out and has empowered, you know, those that want to build data centers that they can generate their own electricity. That is something that is usually a very arduous task, that at least the president also sees and is focused on making sure we lead, but at the same time, not at the cost of local citizens. But, you know, I think the data centers are very similar to any other innovation that is being contemplated. There's going to be misunderstandings about it. But at the same time, you know, my concern is I don't want my electricity rates to go up. It's been difficult enough dealing with inflation, and I don't want to see an extra burden. I used to regulate utilities. You know, they are going to have to judge and budget for demand.
Yeah.
The only other upside financially is you put in a data center, you think about the capital expense that's taking place. It's not going to put any kids in our schools. It's not going to put any kids in our people
right.
in our jails.
Right.
So there is a huge boon to the county's revenue. because of the capital investment there that's taking place in that land.
Yeah, it's so. And people talk about there not being very many jobs at a data center, and that's true, but there's lots of property tax revenue that'll flow to the county and not any draw on that for roads or, you know, like you say, for schools or any of that kind of stuff. You know, one of the, just as an example, we have Softly Field over here that's, you know, the NES Pensacola has actively said they're trying to develop it. Well, Softly has a solar farm, but other places, you know, you could have a solar farm that generates, let's say, 75 megawatts, and then you could put a 50 megawatt data center, and not saying at Softly, but anywhere, and then it actually sends power to the grid and produces some of the benefits of what we all like to have with our phones and with our social media and streaming these videos and movies. I mean, just, I don't hear a comprehensive conversation about this, and so I'm glad some of the points you brought up, and particularly about, you know, being forward-oriented towards our competition with China, which is our near peer, our biggest adversary right now. So,
and then you just look at what dependency the world is going to have moving forward on AI. It is what it is. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle at yeah. these data centers to proceed. You know, my fear is them having the upper hand on, you know, our country with this technology.
Yeah, no, it seems clear that if anybody would love us to not pursue this more than the particular people who are out at these meetings, it's the Chinese. I mean, certainly, yeah. whether they're actively manipulating them or colluding in any kind of way, it's an interesting question.
Right.
But certainly, the interests of China are much more in terms of getting us to stop growth in this direction. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Stay safe. Take care.
7:55 on News Radio.
I love you.
News Radio 92.3. Candy has traffic on the fives.
You take a look at our roads. Good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. There's an accident at Plantation in Davis right near the station, but it looks like that has been moved off to the side. Watch for emergency crews on scene. 437-1620 if you see that accident or slowdown. I'm Candy with traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Summer is here. And Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
Hi, this is Mike Kohler, your District 2 Commissioner seeking re-election. As a retired Navy captain with 33 years of naval service, I'll continue fighting to preserve our communities, manage taxpayer dollars responsibly, and oppose wasteful spending. As your commissioner, you can continue to count on me to be a strong advocate for public safety. I respectfully request your vote. Please vote Mike Kohler on August 18th.
Paid for and approved political ad by Mike Kohler for County Commissioner, Republican District 2.
This isn't shouting.
It's conversation.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays at 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Chewing gum online, eh? I hope you brought enough for everybody.
Every once in a while. You just have to match up Headley from Blazing Saddles with a little Elvis Presley and some rockabilly, some old-time classic rockabilly. Yes, sir. Yeah,
Headley Lamar, shoot.
7:58 here on News Radio. Headley. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, or our Headley lines. David?
Well, President Trump wants Iran included in a Russia sanctions bill. That measure would impose mandatory sanctions on Russian political and military leaders, as well as oligarchs, state-owned enterprises, and foreign companies that support Russia's defense base. In a Truth Social post, the president called on Republicans to add Iran into the bill. The,
I wonder if we could get, like, a certified oligarch badge that people could wear, you know, if they're in the group, you know, like
right.
on Twitter, you know, approved. Like we
oligarch
like,
approved.
Yeah, yeah. oligarch mm-hmm. identified, you know, so we can know who the real oligarchs are and the people who are the pretend oligarchs.
That's right. death toll from earthquakes in Venezuela is now up to more than 5,200. Those updated figures released by the Venezuelan government. Andrew, where's the time gone? All 32 NFL teams start training camp over the next 2 weeks. Rookies for the Seahawks and 49ers have already reported to their facilities. Elsewhere, rookies for the Bills, Panthers, Texans, Dolphins, and Patriots report Tuesday.
I know you may not have heard it, but Candy had the best comment. She said they can be star belly oligarchs, unlike those non-star belly types that have no stars upon theirs. You know, like
that's right.
I love that you brought a Sneetch's reference to the conversation about oligarchs in Russia. We can find a tangent to a tangent to a tangent and still make it relevant.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.